Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Welcome, everyone, to episode two. I think we would be remiss without acknowledging just how many people gave this podcast a listen. Almost 10 times, over 10 times. The people that we thought were. So all 36 of y'all out there who gave this a listen, including my parents and Anna's stepmom, we love you.
We appreciate you.
This is really, it's a dream come true. We're so grateful.
It'd be nothing without you.
So very, 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 very happy to be back here for an exciting episode two of the Hat Picks podcast with Anna and Jillian. Got a lot of great content for you here today. So I think, Anna, unless you've got something else to add, I think we're going to jump right in.
Nah, you got it. You go.
Excellent. Well, we're going to give it a start with my number three hat pick for this week, which is Paige Monahan and Midge Purse of Sky Blue FC. They had a dope game against the Chicago Red Stars. Which is really great because they did not have a dope game against the Chicago Red Stars the last time they played them. It was really bad.
True story.
It was not good.
One might say yikes.
Yes, yikes is an appropriate response to that game. But yikes is now an appropriate response for Chicago because...
Boy, howdy.
We have two great goals from these players, which just really... help Sky Blue dominate Chicago after that terrible loss a few weeks ago. You know, I feel like we're seeing some good things from Sky Blue. They've kind of always sat near the bottom, didn't even have a playoff berth until the Challenge Cup earlier this year. So really glad to see some growth and exciting things coming from them. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about these goals. So in the 25th minute, we have Midge Purse, who is blasting up the field past Casey Short, who is a really good player, mind you, and just perfectly slots a low ball across the field. Like, it looks like she literally used a ruler and was like, this is where I would like the ball to go. And just like, straight across the field to Paige Monahan, who just like pounds it. Like, I thought it went like through the goal almost. Like, it just went right up into the upper net. It was fantastic.
And that's what Midge Purse does. Midge Purse comes down the flank and she muscles her way past players because she is so strong, like physically strong. Like I'm afraid of her, but like in a good way, you know,
like the best way.
Yeah, that way. And she just does it every time. She did it with the Thorns and now she's doing it with Sky Blue. And while I wish it was on the Thorns, you love to see it.
Yes, we really love to see it. And if that was not enough, in the 45th minute, like, I don't know, probably like seconds left in stoppage time before the half, you have, again, Casey Short isn't even close to Midge Purse during her run. I mean, Midge Purse is just blasting by. And the commentators even said, how about this individual effort from Midge Purse? I mean, she was crushing. And she chips it across the field and Monahan is wide open, wide open. People have either lost her in the box or aren't covering her. And she's waiting and just heads it beautifully past Alyssa Nair, who is like the head goalkeeper for the U.S. Women's National Team, mind you. And it was just like a beautiful way to end the first half for Sky Blue. I was just so glad to see the chemistry between these two, like that they were able to link up like that. You know, and also Paige Monahan had another assist to Anamanu in the game as well. So she had a hand in every single one of those goals. You know, these players are really growing and coming into their own, I think. Like, shout out to Midge Purse for getting her U.S. Women's National Team call up. Heck yes. As Anna had mentioned, we are so disappointed that this dope Harvard grad does not play for Portland anymore. But she...
That's sad.
I really personally think she is making a huge difference on this Sky Blue team. She's not the only one, but like her presence, I think, is making a big, big difference. And Paige Monahan, who is a Butler grad, shout out to Indiana, where I also went to college. you know, she's only 23. It's kind of cool that she's also a New Jersey native who's playing on this team. So that's kind of cool that she gets to come back and sort of like play for a home crowd. I think she's going to continue to make waves. Like this is a great sign, I think, for her.
Oh, yeah. And then when Carly Lloyd comes back and, I mean, we get kind of that team back up to its full health.
Mal Pugh.
Because it's not right now. Yep. That front line, that I cannot wait to see Midge Purse to Mal Pugh and how many goals they're going to score together.
Anna, because stop. It's going to be too much.
It's going to be dangerous. Not to mention Anumanu, who also used to play for the Thorns. God. I miss you. realistically, once Carly Lloyd and Mal Pugh come back, Anumanu is probably not going to be a starter anymore. But with that said, she's going to come on sometime in the second half of all of these games, and she's going to score goals more often than she's not. She's so successful at being able to get around players easily. Whether that's she slots the ball past them, whether it's she uses some technical footwork. I can't wait to see Sky Blue at full health. They're not even my team, and I'm just looking, I can't wait for them.
You love an underdog story anyway.
A true underdog story, North Carolina. A true underdog
right?
story,
yes.
North Carolina.
We have some feelings. But like they, like I said, hadn't even had a playoff berth. I mean, really seeing some good stuff from them. And McCall Zerboni, who has been out with an injury, when she comes back, she added a lot in the Challenge Cup, you know, so I think I'm excited about Sky Blue. I'm excited about Midge Purse and Paige Monahan and what they're going to do. So that is my number three for this week. Anna?
Hell yeah. All right. My number three, we're moving it across the pond to the WSL because that's still going on. And I wake my ass up at 4:30 to watch these games because who needs sleep? Sleep is for the weak. But my number three is my team, Arsenal, crushing Brighton. Now, maybe I should be a little bit kinder to Brighton, but I will say this. Brighton has Denise O'Sullivan. Denise O'Sullivan plays for the North Carolina Courage. The North Carolina Courage are my least favorite team in the NWSL. And so that's enough reason for me to want every other team to beat them. Does that sound logic? Probably not, but am I going
to get it? Sounds valid to me. This is our podcast and it's all valid.
Thanks, welcome. Jillian. So Arsenal's win. They started off with a goal in the 10th minute. Vivian Miedema from the Netherlands is unstoppable up top. She's unstoppable not just with Arsenal, but also with the Dutch national team. She makes a great strike to the bottom corner. She just shifts the ball from her left foot to her right foot and just slams it into the goal. Like, no chance for that keeper. Keep going. 36th minute. Danielle van de Dock, also Dutch player. And it's a miracle that we beat them in the World Cup, honestly.
It really is.
She gets an assist from Caitlin Ford, lovely Matilda, who really did the work down the right flank and used her body to make space for her. She like was not going to stop until she made it to that end line. And then she passed to Van de Donk, who has a chef's kiss strike at the top of the 18 for a goal. First half, 2-0. Great start.
Crushing it.
Second half, can't stop, won't stop. The Arsenal motto. 48th minute. Jennifer Beattie, who is a defender, a header off of a corner kick. It's just past the keeper. Brighton thinks they get it off the line. They don't. We're up 3-0. Keeping on. 82nd minute, Wubben Mooi gets an assist from Miedema, who comes down the left flank and provides, again, chef's kiss service to the back post. And the volley that Wubben Mooi does to get it past the keeper, she like almost runs into the back post. She has the pace. She's not quitting. And they get the goal. And then, as if I haven't said Vivian Miedema's name enough, 93rd minute, stoppage time. Miedema gets just an easy volley right past the keeper to just finish out that game nicely.
At one point, you got to kind of wonder, did the Brighton team just decide to go to the Brighton beaches? And they were just like, we're going to take a break because this is a little too much.
I mean, honestly, after that, most of that second half, I would have just been like, you know, I think we could all just use a little break, head down to the beach and it'll be a great day. But not only was the front line of that game just crushing it, but Zinsberger, the goalie, who is from Austria, she has some particularly excellent stops. There's one stop, I think, around the 51st minute. Is it in my notes? Yes. Do I have those in front of me? No. But she makes a stop that almost caught her off guard to the top corner, but she manages to get there, and she's just incredible. But something about the Arsenal team that I think not just makes them good, but puts them in the mind space to be good, is that the majority of their players play for their respective national teams. So you have you have a couple Matildas on there. You have some Lionesses. You have some players from the Dutch national team. You have some players from the Austrian national team, the Scottish national team. I mean, they have quite a few national team players, which I think provides a different kind of mindset than you see for a lot of teams in the NWSL. And that's not to talk down to our wonderful, wonderful NWSL players that don't get called up to their national teams. But it's definitely a more intense mindset that a lot of teams in the WSL have.
I think there's just a lot higher pressure when you're playing at that level. It forces you into a higher skill level, because even if they're young and being called up to these teams, they're learning with some of the best around, you know, and then they eventually become those people. But once you get called up and you start to play with those folks and you start to learn with people who are at that high of a caliber, I think it really makes a difference, not only with like our U.S. women's national team here in the States, but I think all of these national teams play at such a high caliber. And if you're in a World Cup or a Euro Cup or something like that, and you're playing with the best in the world, I think all you can do is get better. And I think we see that with these WSL teams. I mean, it is a lot of grit and a lot of fight. And we certainly see that in the MWSL too, but there's just so many players, which I can actually talk about a little bit with my number two, if I'm good to move on to that, Anna.
Yeah, get it.
As we see two players, I am also going to hop across the pond for my number two, for a Fran Kirby and Sam Kerr goal in the Chelsea versus Manchester City game on Sunday. Both of those players play for their teams. Sam Kerr plays for Australia. Fran Kirby plays for England. And you're seeing that high caliber play in this. I was loving this duo. They were just linking up on the field. It did take them a few times to get their goal. It really did. But they had the right idea and they kept pushing and they made it happen, because the third time is the charm, as we like to say. I don't know. I heard that phrase once and I just thought it was nice, so I thought I would use it. So like I said, Sam Kerr plays for Australia, used to play for the Chicago Red Stars multiple years as the leading goal scorer in the NWSL. I would say probably the best player in the world, if not one of the best. I mean, she is up at the very top, and she has been with Chelsea since January. And then you have Fran Kirby, who has been with Chelsea since 2015, big playmaker, even scored her own goal in this game, but I'm not going to focus on that for this particular hat pick. Sorry, Fran, you're still getting a lot of attention. So in the 52nd minute, Fran Kirby is making this smooth give and go to Cuthbert. I'm loving it. Just like boom, boom, triangles. What you're learning in soccer practice in middle and high school. I mean, your basic stuff, and you're seeing it in just wonderful professional fashion. And she gets the ball back again and crosses it right to Sam Kerr, who proceeds to head it and miss. And it was a great play, and it was just short. I don't think Sam Kerr got enough on it. I mean, I think it was a good idea, but it just wasn't there. And then again, in the 54th minute, Fran Kirby gets a pass into the box and feeds it to Sam Kerr, who just like essentially whiffs it, just like kicks it way off. Not a good situation. And I think part of that is because Kerr had to pull back earlier to stay on sides. And I think that left her in a less than ideal position. And so once she got the ball, she wasn't making it happen. And then finally, Fran Kirby receives a great ball from Ji So-yeon and is way up the field when she gets it and then uses like the inside of her foot for this really sharp pass past Demi Stokes, which is a feat in and of itself.
Demi Stokes is the kind of player when she's on the field and you have to go up against her, if she happens to punch you in the face, you might just say thank you because she's so physical and so like intimidating. And she's like a bulldog in the respect that you're just like, you're gonna come up to me and maybe be a little terrifying, but you're also just like, but thank you? Okay. Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah. You can have that ball. That's no problem. Take that.
I feel like that's like a little bit of a mean girl situation that you just described, like Regina George.
Maybe. I don't.
Thank you.
I don't know.
As Anna was saying, Demi Stokes, badass player, great player. And Fran Kirby has this great pass right past her to Kerr. And Kerr at this time is in the right place at the right time and is just speeding towards the goal to punch that sucker in. I mean, just right. Perfect. It was great. And you can tell how excited she is. And I have to believe that some of that is she is an impressive player, known internationally. I mean, first person in Australia, man or woman, to score a hat trick in the World Cup. Again, top leading goal scorer in the NWSL for multiple years. And I think that is some pressure. And she's a newer player on Chelsea. And when you hear Sam Kerr, you expect goals. You just expect it. And so I think to have a game where you're kind of coming up short time after time, I imagine not only just the excitement of scoring a goal, but like knowing that you're coming through for your team and that you're living up to these high expectations that people put on you, I gotta imagine that feels pretty darn good. So I think this is a perfect example of what Anna was talking about earlier about like all these folks with international experience playing. And of course, like we hope to have some of that caliber as like the NWSL continues to grow and mature, that we start to see some of that caliber there as well. But we're seeing it here. It's really great. Shout out to Fran Kirby and Sam Kerr, the Kerrs, the K-I-R and the K-E-R. Okay. Anyway, Anna, please tell us about your number two.
I'm sure they love that nickname. My number two, staying over in the WSL, is Ashley Neville, who plays for the Tottenham Hotspurs, and she's been with them since 2017. Not a name that I think most people even know. She doesn't play for the Lionesses. She is English, but we don't see her pretty much in anything else. She just plays club soccer. Well, it's not a just, but she plays club soccer, and we don't really see her ever at the international level. With that said, she caused Tobin Heath quite a few issues in their game against Manchester United.
And that's a big deal because Tobin Heath is incredible.
Tobin Heath has the footwork of an angel. Is this potentially a chance just for me to talk about Tobin Heath more? Could be. We'll always take the opportunity.
Absolutely.
But am I also going to talk about Ashley Neville? Definitely. Tobin Heath, obviously exceptional winger, with some of the best footwork out there, like I mentioned, and she is so much fun to watch. And Ashley Neville knows that. And Ashley Neville said, "Not today, Satan." She was constantly in Heath's way down the flank every time. But not only was she down the flank causing Tobin Heath like trouble, but she also managed to put herself in some dangerous offensive positions to almost score goals. So we love a multifaceted, versatile player.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She did get some shitty fouls called against her, which were not fouls. They were not fouls, but according to the ref's eyeballs, they were. And that sucked super hard for her. But I think that these kind of players that play alongside some international names, I mean, Tottenham Hotspurs right now, all we're talking about is Alex Morgan. We're waiting to see her come onto the pitch, and she hasn't yet, obviously, because she had a baby. But
what is that?
That's all we're talking about when it comes to Tottenham right now. And this is a chance, I think, particularly now that we're seeing more American players play in the UK, we're getting a chance to hear more about names like Ashley Neville, who are doing great things and are playing super hard and causing trouble for some of the best players in the world. So Ashley Neville, who was a nuisance to one of my faves, Tobin Heath, did so good that I can't ignore her as my number two this week.
Absolutely. And honestly, if you're beating somebody like Tobin Heath, as much as we love her and as much as like you and me as Portland Thorns fans, as US Women's National Team fans, don't want to see somebody like Tobin Heath get beat out, you have to, like, as I said last week, real recognize real, you know, like to be able to do that with that high caliber of a player who is already, I mean, Tobin Heath already has multiple assists in the WSL while playing for Man United. Like the fact that she's already making waves over there shows just how good of a player she is. And if Ashley Neville is doing this, she 100% deserves this shout out.
Yeah, man. So good.
So good.
you should do more singing on this. I think everybody really would love should. To hear it.
So an honorable mention. All right, so this week, Anna had a great honorable mention last week, so I'm going to toss in an honorable mention this week. We're bringing it back to the good old United States of America for this one. So I would like to give a shout out to goalkeeper for the Orlando Pride, Brittany Wilson, for this amazing save she had against Houston last week. So just to point out, she is not the first string goalie. Like, that's Ashlyn Harris. Who is out on a personal matter, you know, so this is a big deal that she's playing anyway. But in the 56th minute, you have Sophie Schmidt, who is dominating in this fall series, has been doing so, so well, takes a very impressive shot from distance. And it's like pretty on target. And Wilson literally slaps that mess down. And she's like laid out, like almost horizontal. She's midair with one hand, like one freaking hand. I mean, I need you all to go on to the NWSL Facebook or website, whatever, and watch some highlights, because that is like the save of the year. It was so beautiful and it deserves a nod. Watch her slap that crap down. It was great. I just like, it's great.
Particularly from a keeper that hasn't seen any minutes in any games. Pretty much ever. She is not a keeper that had been signed to the Pride as like a first choice. She was signed on because they needed somebody. And with Ashlyn Harris out for a personal matter, they needed somebody to be in the goal. Cause I mean, it's a soccer game. You need somebody there. And she crushed it. I mean, did they lose? Yes. Did she try her hardest? Yes.
And they could have lost by worse if she didn't make this save. So,
for real. And it's not the only good save she made, but it was like the best save.
It was the most impressive. So check it out. Go Brittany Wilson. Hope you're resting well after that. And I think that is a great segue into what Anna and I have this week, which is very special. Obviously, it's only the second episode, so it can't be that special, but it is very special.
This is the most special, Jillian. It's the most special.
It is so freaking special. So Anna and I this week have a joint number one, and I would love to toss it over to Anna to give us a little heads up about this. And I think we're going to talk about two different games for this person, and it's going to be great. Anna, tell us.
All right. Our joint number one this week is Christy Mewis. I mean, come on, Christy Mewis. That game against the North Carolina Courage it was out of this world. She put in so much work. When we talk about the Mewises, frequently, we're only talking about Samantha Mewis, player for the North Carolina Courage, currently playing for Manchester City. And she gets most of the attention. She's won a World Cup. She's crushing it out there. But today is all about Christy Mewis.
Heck yes, it is. Who plays for the Houston Dash, if you all didn't know. We want to give you a little background on that. She is Samantha's older sister. However, Samantha is incredibly tall. So Christy is the shorter younger sister.
6 feet tall. She's got 6 feet of her.
That's so tall.
That's so much of person.
But Christy Mewis plays for the Houston Dash and has been with them since 2017. And as Anna said, had an incredible game against the North Carolina Courage, but also had a really great game against Orlando last week too. So these last two games of the fall series, she really kicked it into gear, and it has just been so impressive to watch, honestly. So Anna, you want to talk about the North Carolina Courage game, and I'll take that Orlando Pride game?
Hell yeah. So there were 4 goals for the Dash in that Courage Dash game, and Christy Mewis had a foot in all of them. I was going to say hand, but then it's soccer. Get it? As they play with their feet. It's funny.
Who's laughing?
Anyway. I think I'm funny, and I really think that's all that matters. Anyway. In the 30th minute, Sophie Schmidt scores a goal. Sophie Schmidt could not score said goal without the assist from Christy Mewis. They do a short corner, and Christy Mewis gets the ball, and she just cuts it against Lauren Milliot of the Courage, who is a young player on that back line, and passes the ball almost directly to Schmidt's feet, a la Midge Purse and Paige Monahan. Like, mm-hmm. Just directly to her feet. And Schmidt just gets a quick volley straight past Roland. Roland in goal because Steph LeBay has opted out of the last two games for the North Carolina Courage as they are away games. So she chose to not play those games. So Schmidt just gets the ball right past Roland. Not too much longer later, in the 37th minute, Christy Mewis again assists another goal. Veronica Latsko scores a beautiful goal in the 37th minute. Mewis won the ball from a kind of slide tackle pass thing against Peyton Perea. Again, another young player for the North Carolina Courage, and gets the ball to Latsko, who slots it right into the bottom corner. Simple and beautiful and quick. Second half, would be remiss to not mention Christy Mewis's actual goal. another matchup with Latsko and Mewis. Latsko reads the pitch really well, and knows that she has to stop her forward movement to get the ball to another player. She passes it back to Mewis, who kind of gets around on the left flank and gives it a solid strike from the top of the 18, who gets it past Roland again in the bottom right corner, like the previous goal. Could be a problem spot for Roland. Could just be really good strikes. Could be both. But it's the second goal in that area, which is interesting to note for the stats.
We love a good stat.
They're the most important thing, the stats. In the 83rd minute, there's service into the 18 from Christy Mewis. And Shay Groom did some magical acrobatics. I don't really know what she did, but she hits the ball with this, like, I don't know what part of her foot. I don't know which foot. I've watched that clip like 4 times.
Same.
And I still have no
yes.
clue. But the ball does go in the back of the net, all from service from Christy Mewis. That is not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 goals that Christy Mewis was involved in. And they were all just like top quality.
And I think like, it could be – so the North Carolina Courage have been incredibly dominant in the NWSL for the last several years. And before they were the Courage, they were the Western New York Flash, and they were also dominant then. So this has just been a historically dominant club no matter what it's been called or where it's been located. And right now, some of their big-name players are not with them. And like Anna said, this is a younger team that they're working with in this fall series, even a different lineup than they were working with in the Challenge Cup. And it could be really tempting to say that like – Houston only did well against North Carolina because it was this younger team or XYZ. And I just want to like really urge people not to like fall into that narrative, because the Houston Dash have been crushing, and Christy Mewis is a huge part of that. And they have been doing that regardless of who they've been playing. They have been really, really coming together as a team, and Christy Mewis has been a leader in that. So I just want to toss that in about that game and that team.
For sure.
So this past Friday, we have the Dash playing Orlando. Another team that, again, has been having a little bit of trouble, a lot of new players. I think, what, like 13 of their players are gone or something like that. Like, it's a lot. I don't know the exact number. However, the Dash are just showing how impressive they are. And again, Christy Mewis is at the top of that. So she is fed a strong, very strong, too strong of a ball in the 13th minute after she makes an impressive run down the field from like the halfway line, like all the way down to the edge of the field. Manages to keep this ball in, which is like a miracle in and of itself. I mean, it was incredible to watch. And then she just lofts like this dope ball. It's so good. Perfectly placed to the center where Shea Groom speeds in and slams this ball into the back of the left net where, I mean, like with her head, I mean, it's like, she just like, I wish you could see me right now. Cause my head is just, I'm like head banging. I'm like a metal head, like just right into the back of the goal.
I too wish everyone could see this.
But like, that is such a perfect example of Christy Mewis making something out of nothing. Like that was like a beep ball. Like it was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible ball. there was too much on it and she managed to get it and feed it perfectly to Shea Groom. And it was great. It was so great. I'm trying to keep it clean for all our families listening out there.
It's fine. Just say it. I've already said two curse words, I think. I mean, it's whatever.
We'll just mark it explicit. It was a shit ball. So anyway, that is one assist and another play that Christy Mewis had a hand in. And then in the 29th minute, Houston is pressing. And I would say they're like halfway into the Orlando half. And it's pretty crowded as they're approaching the 18. And Mewis is able again to like to feed a ball through this crowd to Veronica Latsko, who just like magically like scoots around the goalie. And then like almost like sneaks this ball in at a very tight angle and gets it into the goal for their second goal of this game. And I think we mentioned this a little bit last week, but those people who are making these plays and getting the assists are not the people who are like, they're not having the light shined on them. They're not the ones who are getting all the attention. And that I think is particularly why we wanted to like to highlight Christy Mewis, because none of this would be happening without her. You know, if they're a good team, but she is really leading the pack right now. It's like, I know that like Rachel Daly did a whole lot in the Challenge Cup, but like the Dash are doing fine without her. Like, I'm not that they wouldn't be better with her there, but like they are succeeding without her, and Christy Mewis is stepping in and making these plays happen. And it's so great to watch. She like sees these opportunities and takes them. And one thing that is really special too is that like, especially with like that first goal, where she had the assist with Shea Groom in the Orlando game. It's like, even if making the next best move isn't easy, she makes it happen anyway. She's got grit and determination, and she has been on fire this summer and fall. Like, oh my God, that like championship game against Chicago in the Challenge Cup, where she played for like the, like almost the first half and was clearly so injured and just like pushed through. You shouldn't push through on an injury. Don't do that. But like, it just shows like the dedication that she has. And like, I think Anna would probably agree with me. She is incredibly deserving of the U.S. Women's National Team call-up that she has had. Like, I can't wait to see more from Christy Mewis. This has been her season.
Yeah, you crushed it. You said everything. I don't have to say it. You did it.
Cool. Sorry.
No, not sorry. No, not like in a bad way. Like, you just like, you did it. It's perfect.
Excellent. Great.
I know it's, you don't usually hear compliments from me, so it's definitely like a weird thing.
Take it.
But it was a compliment.
Thank you so much. So those are our hat picks. Anna, tell us a little bit about our topic of the week. There's more of that singing you asked for.
Oh yeah, and you're definitely gonna have to do that every time now. So our topic of the week this week is, we're looking at the commentators in this one. We notice, and I'm sure we're certainly not the only people to notice, but we're going to talk about it now. Commentators who are frequently white in the game of soccer, constantly refer to the Black players on the pitch as fast. They comment on their speed. They comment on how they're track stars. But we don't ever hear any sort of technical analysis on these players, even though they are fully deserving of it and are in fact multifaceted players who deserve the recognition for more than just their speed.
Absolutely. This has happened so much in the fall series. Jasmine Spencer, Simone Charlie, Sophia Smith, and other players that it happens to all the time, like Crystal Dunn, Lynn Williams, Jess McDonald, Kristen Press. Like Anna said, they have so much. Mal Pugh. I mean, there's so many of them. The list goes on. But like Anna said, these players have so much more to offer than their speed. And I think like the most recent example that I can think of off the top of my head is the OL Reign game against Portland, with where Sophia Smith got a start. And, you know, she's still a brand new player, like has only seen a few caps for the Thorns since being drafted, and is still able to really hold her own on the field. I was like literally dancing around players, if I'm being quite honest, like against OL Reign. I mean, was doing such a good job. And the commentators still would only say over and over again, wow, Sophia Smith is so fast. And it was just like disappointing. It was not surprising, but it was just so disappointing. Anna and I were literally texting each other being like, hey, did you know Sophia Smith is fast? Like, it's like, say something else, be more creative. Like, and I understand that like, it may not be like in their minds that it's because she's a Black player, but like pay attention, you know? I mean, and it happens to a lot of other players too.
Yeah. I mean, in that same game, Simone Charlie, who also plays for the Portland Thorns and is one of the most persistent players in the NWSL. She doesn't give up on chances. She's able to read where a pass could and should go so well in the final third. She creates so many opportunities and or finishes them, you know, depending on where Megan Klingenberg is on the pitch at any given moment. but we still only hear, Simone Charlie, she's a track star. And so she's so fast. We get it. She did track in college. That's wonderful. And that's certainly something to highlight because she was successful at track. However, we're not talking about track. We're talking about soccer. And in soccer, there's much more to being a successful player than being fast.
And it's not to deny these players their speed, right? Like, absolutely say that they're fast, but then also comment on their foot skills. Also comment on the versatility they have. Like, Crystal Dunn being such a versatile player, watching her in the last World Cup, you could see that she was going to be successful no matter where she was on the field.
Crystal Dunn, I'm one of Crystal Dunn's biggest fans. I think that she reads the pitch probably better than most other players out there right now. That's not just in the NWSL, but I think that's internationally. Her vision makes her one of the most versatile players and arguably one of the most important players on the pitch. Again, not just for the Courage, who we're clearly hurting without her, but for the U.S. women's national team, she's able to defensively track where a player is going to be. She's able to successfully read their body language in a way that stops so many chances before they even get to another defender or even to Nair. She's able to see where players are going to make their runs or should make their runs on the offensive end and put the ball there. She's able to put a cross in that is super dangerous in an offensive fashion. She's also able to really, really see the open spaces on the flank, whether that's in the center of the pitch as she's moving down, whether that's in the final third, whether that's a throw-in. She's able to really see those open spaces and offer great balls to players' feet that they can move forward with. It's not just that she can be fast to get those things to happen. It's that she's able to do all of those things while also being fast.
Yes. And it's like, that should be almost like the last thing that you mention. And I think if you're looking at some of like these players and their white counterparts, like Tobin Heath, we talk about Tobin Heath's foot skills all the time. Then again, I think Tobin Heath hates running. So maybe she's not the best example. that is my standing theory.
But Megan Rapinoe.
Yes, Megan Rapinoe. Great example. You know, like we're not just talking about Megan Rapinoe's speed over here. And I don't think that's like an accident, even though there's probably not like ill intent behind it. I think as people commenting on soccer, we really need to be paying attention to this. You know, another really prominent example, I would say, in like this current NWSL series is Lynn Williams, who has really, really grown as a player in the last couple of years. And she was the second leading goal scorer behind Sam Kerr, of course. Like, I mean, it's Sam Kerr. In 2018 and 2019 in the NWSL, though, she is a huge goal scorer for the North Carolina Courage. But always, always it's focusing. The commentators are focusing on her speed. And not discussing the skills that she brings. Obviously, like, she is still sort of a newer player, especially on, like, the international scene. She is starting to see more call-ups, which is really great, and she's starting to grow so much as a player. But, like, let's talk about that, and let's talk about the skills that she brings to the table beyond just her speed. Because her speed may get her there, but, like, speed only does so much on the pitch. You are not going to be able to be a successful soccer player if all you can do is run. And that's, it just doesn't feel like that is acknowledged for these Black players. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Kristen Press? Or do you want me to talk about Kristen Press? Or you know what? Let's both talk about Kristen Press.
Okay. So, first of all, Kristen Press, God's gift to soccer. Love her. Love her. Love that journey for her that she's over with Man United. Sorry. I just have to pause for a minute because she's so great.
I know.
She's like one of the top... I'm pretty sure one of the top 10 goal scorers for the U.S. women's national team. A queen, a playmaker. I mean, like, we love to see it. She is truly one of the best assets that the U.S. women's national team has. And she's a huge asset for the Royals once she's there. And I think once she kind of gets her sea legs over at Man United, she's also going to continue to be an asset for them. And again, she is not just fast.
No. Her ability to score a goal that most people would think is not, like, accessible as, like, right, an option, she can see those chances and she takes them. She takes those kind of risks in the final third. She pushes her limits in a way that allows for new and different things to happen. And I think that that kind of vision is, like, super, super impressive, not just from a technical standpoint, but it's super impressive to watch. You're just like, whoa, did she just did that. And we, that, that's
Kristen Press, what have you done?
What did you do? But it's those kind of moments that had nothing to do with her speed. But did you know that Kristen Press is fast? Because, you know, I've heard that Kristen Press is fast. I don't know.
It's such a disservice. You know, we reduce Black players to their speed and we just continue to reinforce these stereotypes. And again, it's impact over intent. Even if you don't mean to, even if we're just absentmindedly and compliment, like, while complimenting a player saying these things, because no one is like, they're fast and, like, trying to, like, hate on them. Like, it's a good thing. Being fast is an asset on the field. But reinforcing those stereotypes, even unintentionally, is harmful.
Yeah. And these commentators are getting paid for their analysis during a game. Yeah, we're asking for a kind of a play-by-play. And yes, sometimes that does include Sophia Smith getting to a point on the pitch, and that was because of her speed. Yes, sometimes we're talking about Crystal Dunn getting to a point on the pitch, and that's because of her speed. However, there's so much more to what they do after that. And these commentators should know to do those things. They should know that we are expecting them to talk about what happened, not just how they got there. And, you know, given the fact that during the Thorns and Rain game, yeah, the commentators couldn't even correctly pronounce players' names, I don't know what I'm really expecting here, but if you're getting paid to do it, I expect it to be done right. That is a capitalist mindset, but it's where we're at.
And it's so true. We're not getting paid and we're talking about it. But I do want to note that, like, this is something that, like, Anna and I also have to catch ourselves on. We're not sitting over here, like, on our ivory podcast tower being like, all these commentators are terrible. I mean, we are doing that, but we're also, like, we do it. We have to call ourselves out on it too. Like, we'll be texting and we'll just be like, well, Lynn Williams is fast. And it's like, okay. But, like, also both and. Anna and I are both white, and so we have to catch ourselves on this and pay attention to this, especially as we're seeing more Black players, like, rise through the ranks in soccer. I mean, like, I think, like, at certain times there are more Black players on the field for Sky Blue than not, which was, like, really exciting to see in U.S. soccer, and to see that happening, like, to see some of these great, great, great players who are also women of color, people of color, and especially specifically Black people making waves in this game, in this country, which has traditionally been dominated by white people.
Yeah. I think that we're at a point culturally not just in soccer, but in general, where we're ready to push that conversation further. And in soccer, when we see that many Black players on the pitch for Sky Blue, like, that's a cool thing. And that's not something that we're used to seeing. I mean, the amount of women of color that are called up to the U.S. Women's National Team now is more than just Brianna Scurry and Shannon Box. Right. Like, it's super exciting to see. And since we're seeing that more, we can be critical of the way that we're talking about mm-hmm. these players. I think that we're in that space now, and critical, not in a, I'm trying to critique these players, critical in terms of analyzing what they're offering on the pitch, because they get called up for a reason. They start a game for a reason, and it's not because of their speed solely.
Vlatko Andonovski isn't like at a track and field event trying to find the next call-ups for the U.S. Women's National Team. Like, he's at these NWSL games watching very closely, and
he was coaching NWSL games.
Right. Yes, absolutely. You know, so that's, it's just really, I think, very, very important that we think and that we stop ourselves, that we're able to be self-critical and that we're able to say, hey, I slipped here, I did this. And I think if you're being paid to do this, if you're a commentator, don't sit in that space of feeling guilty. Oh, like, I did this, like, own it and be better next time, you know, because like, we have to be able to say, like, I messed up, I need to do better. And then we have to do better. We can't just like self-wallow in that. And so, because these players deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. These are top players in the league, in the country, in the world, and they should not be reduced to a stereotype. Absolutely not. You know, and like at some point, I think because we're seeing these call-ups of people, more Black players, especially in the NWSL, at some point in the future, like we mentioned, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that bias comes out on the field with fouls. You know, are Black players more likely to be, you know, if somebody fouls a Black player, are they going to be seen as tougher? And so maybe that foul isn't going to get called. And if they foul somebody else, are they more likely to get called for that than a white counterpart? So this is a very layered conversation, and this is just the tip of the iceberg.
There's a lot of nuance.
Definitely. And so I think this is a great place to start, especially because it's just in our own thinking about how we are approaching these players. This is something that like we can just do and change as we sit and watch soccer. You know, we don't have to be professional commentators or amazing podcasters, you know.
But some of us are.
Some of us are. And you one day could be too.
All you have to do is do a Google.
So yeah, so this is like, yeah, I hope that all of us, as we watch soccer in these next few weeks and months and years, are able to analyze the play of every player on the field, especially Black players, more critically and more openly, and to not reduce anybody to a stereotype.
Yeah. What Jillian said.
Cool. Well, as far as I know, that's it. That's all, folks.
That's the pod. We did it.
That's the pod. This has been a blast so far, all two episodes. You know, again, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's 36 listeners or one of you just like was so obsessed that you listened like 20 times. Either way, we're so glad to have you here and on this journey with us. It is a joy. It is a true joy.
Hell yeah. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HatPicksPod. If you have any questions or really just want to chat with us because you want to be our friends, like we totally get it. You can email us.
We need friends.
Jillian. Don't let them know that we're desperate. You can email us at hatpickspod@gmail.com.
Heck yes. All right. Well, I'm Jillian.
I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.